Good afternoon. This is Saturday, February 9th. And this talk is directed to the more serious students. We have a handful in our group now. We have 15. And it is assumed that each of us is serious about attaining Christhood in some measure in this incarnation, in this lifespan, in this experience on earth. We are serious about demonstrating the fact that we're not on earth, that we're living in spiritual consciousness, in our Christhood. And to that end, we have made, this will be talk number 11. And these talks have not been released to the public. This group of talks has not been released to the public. And so they have no idea what we're doing. Even the website, mysticalprinciples.com, does not have a link to these talks. We are the only people that have heard them. And these talks point out principles that we should be living by, not principles that we should be discussing or principles that we should be pondering, although it doesn't hurt a little bit to take it into meditation and ponder it that way, but not principles to be thinking about in the mind, but principles to be living. These are the principles that Christ lives. And so if you would attain Christhood, you must practice these principles, such as leave your nets, which is leaving your trappings of humanhood, and such as surrender, and surrendering to Christ consciousness, such as to him that hath it shall be given, which is realizing that the only way to demonstrate your Christhood is by giving it away. So these are principles. All of these are principles. And we've had 8 principles and 2 from older talks. So 10 principles. This is principle number 11, and it's going to be called spiritual alchemy, which means effecting a transition or a transformation through spiritual means. Now, just to refresh your memory, let's look at something from the Bible. I'll get it. I'll be right back. And the first scripture goes like this. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Whom Lord God had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So, what we have here is someone called Lord God forming itself. And what do we know about Lord God? Lord God forming things out of dust, which is a way of saying forming things out of atoms, which is a way of saying forming things out of thought, which is a way of saying making mental images. Lord God here is the mind, world mind. So we might as well read it how it is, which would be, and the world mind formed man of the dust of the ground. And the world mind planted a garden and brought forth the knowledge, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's the world mind making mental images, images of a personal life, your life, if you're living as a person right at this moment, if you're John Smith or Doris Brown, and you're thinking in terms of how much money you have in the bank and what you need to pay next week out of your funds, how much you will have left, or if you're thinking about, well, I'm approaching 60 years, I've probably got about, 12 or 20 left, or if you're thinking about, I've been pretty nice to that person, so I've got a pretty good relationship going, and if you're thinking in terms of a personal life, or maybe you're thinking I've been mean and I need to make an amends and say I'm sorry and get some flowers and candy and make up, you're thinking in terms of your personal life. In other words, you're standing in the midst of this garden where world mind is forming out of the dust of the ground your entire existence. And it's all taking place in your mind. You're standing in the mind. It's not your real mind, but it's the world mind. It's the mind thinking about the world mind. Or you might prefer the mind about the world, or the mind about the world's business. If you're standing in that mind, and you're living that personal life, well, I can tell you without a doubt, I can prophesy that you're going to run out of your money, you're going to run out of your strength, and you're going to mess up your relationships. You're going to end up bankrupt. In fact, the very world mind that forms these things out of the dust of the ground, or out of atoms, or out of mental images, and convinces you that there's evil and good in this creation, this very world mind is going to kill you. And that's what you have in the second chapter of Genesis. But those of us in this group, we've decided, well, we don't want to live in that universe. We know, we suspect, we have felt another universe, another self, and another life, or at least the possibility of another life. And so we turn to the first chapter of Genesis and the real creation. And this is the creation formed out of consciousness, out of Christ consciousness, out of God consciousness. This is the real creation. And if you're standing in this creation, well, you probably should be making some talks, and I'd like to hear them. Because this creation was formed not by a world mind, a mind about the world, a mind concerned with the world. This creation was formed by God out of itself. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That means God created the invisible, but also the forms as which that invisible appears. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. That's the very first thing. Let there be light. And so God expressed as light is the very first and real creation. And you, your identity, is in fact that light. God called the light day. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I love this. This is the experience that I have every time I have a successful meditation. Every single time I have a successful meditation, every single time you have a successful meditation, you are standing in the first day of creation. You are witnessing the real creation, because there is an experience within where the Spirit of God moves upon the face of the waters. It's a real experience. You become conscious of its movement. And if you stand there and don't try to do anything other than behold this creation, it will form itself as your experience, and it will appear as forms. It will appear as companionship. It will appear as supply in every form, not just money. Money is one of millions of forms of supply. Standing outside on a summer day and having a cloud cross in front of the sun and giving you shade while you're plowing your garden, and the shade cools you for a moment and there's a little breeze, that's supply too. The air that you breathe. Finding yourself in the right place at the right time. Trying to remember, where did I read that principle that Joel was talking about? Which book is it in? And reaching on your bookshelf and pulling down a book and opening it just anywhere and landing right on the principle you were considering, that's supply. See, we tend to think of supply as money, and that's so horrible to think of that way. Supply is every infinite form as which this light appears. So, the Spirit of God moved over the face of the deep, the face of the waters. And God said, let there be this. And God said, let there be that. And finally, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over everything. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. But I think they changed that. I think it was male and female created he him. Anyway, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and have dominion. Now, do you see what's happening here in this first real creation? God is expressing as light, and that light is forming itself as man and every perfect thing. The entire earth, the real earth, the plants, the animals, the stars, the rivers, the lakes, the mountains, the deserts, the snow, the rain, the sun. And that light expressed as your being is given dominion over this creation. But what does dominion mean now? Dominion doesn't mean that you move into the creation of Lord God and have dominion and start pushing things around and forcing your will, does it? No. What does dominion mean? Dominion means God has given you the ability to enter your temple, your spiritual temple of the Most High, stand ye still and see the salvation of God. Stand ye still and behold that perfect first creation as it expresses. You are able to go within that temple, rest, and behold the Spirit moving over the face of the waters. And then, with no idea whatsoever how that will form itself, you are able to get up from your meditation, do that work which is in front of you to do, and behold the light appearing as the form needed in your experience or anybody's experience who turns to you. This is called spiritual alchemy. This is so far beyond living in a world mind creation that it's called not human life anymore. It's called Christhood. And it is what you are called to do as a serious student that wishes to experience Christhood. Now in this book, Leave Your Nets, Joel says it like this. Reach into the deep pool within and feel the abundance, the gentleness, and the power of the Spirit. And let it flow. And when it flows, it will come out as in a mold. Now we can get down to brass tacks and we can say intellectually that, well, God and the light really doesn't form itself into a mold. God, the light, just moves over the face of the deep and the mind interprets that as a mold. And that's fine if you want to go there, but I'm not doing that today. I'm just pointing out the difference in the two creations and the difference in where you must stand and which life you must live. And I must live. I have said I want to demonstrate Christhood now, here, this time around, and stop fooling with humanhood. And that means, instead of standing in this personal life and using my money and my supply and my health, my companionships, and moving this around and trying to succeed and blah, 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 and trying to turn evil into good, and now I'm sick, so I got to get well, so I go to the doctors, I get that going good. Oh, hey, here comes a bill I didn't think of. Now my supply's upset. I got to pray some more principles, blah, 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 trying to improve a personal life. No. It's time we stop that. I mean, stop it. Who are you fooling? Stop living a human life. Quit. At least when you catch yourself, stop it. But it's much easier if you go to this inner temple and practice meditation several times a day. It only has to be for a minute or two, but it has to be long enough to make the contact, which means so you can stand still and see and behold the first chapter of Genesis, that spiritual creation happening live right now. We behold the light forming itself, or the light shining, which later appears as form. So he says, reach into this deep pool and feel the abundance, the gentleness, and the power of that Spirit, and let it flow. And when it flows, it will come out as in a mold. That mold may be money, home, companions, forgiveness, justice, mercy, kindness, or benevolence. But do not attempt to pour spirit into a mold. Do not attempt to provide a mold in which to hold it. Yes, the age of going within to demonstrate an automobile or a new job or a new partner or a new spouse or a new wife or a new husband or a new friend, that is over. Or even a new lung, that's over. It's over. We go as the Son of God. We go as the child of the Spirit of God. And that child lives always, says Joel, and says our experience, and says Christ. That child lives always as a beholder. You are beholding the spiritual creation of Genesis. You thought Genesis was way back there in history somewhere, far, far back, didn't you? It's not. Genesis is taking place in your consciousness the moment you drop out of humanhood and stand ye still, stand fast, and behold. Behold, I come quickly. That's Genesis, and it's an experience going on now in our consciousness. Those of us in this group that are reaching or resting and beholding Christ. So he says, go to this pool, this infinite pool of joyous substance, and commune. Feel it as it fills your consciousness, as it circulates within your being. And by this I do not mean a physical or an emotional feeling when I say feel it, he says, but I mean an inner awareness of the divine. That is all. That is seeking the kingdom of God. And then the things, the so-called things, are added. But remember, it's still, I'm telling you now, these are my words, it's still the kingdom of God. It's only appearing as things. You have the invisible spiritual creation, vibrant, alive. He calls it a pool. I like the spirit moved over the face of the deep. So the face of the deep is a deep pool, I guess. But to me, it feels like a deep universe. Anyway, it doesn't matter what you call it. What matters is to become aware of it and its movement within you. And you can't become aware of its movement if you're thinking. You can only become aware of your thoughts about it. But to become aware of its movement, you must be still. And if you can't do this, then you need to go back and read things like The Art of Meditation and Practicing the Presence and get this ability to meditate. You must have this ability to meditate. It's vital in order to demonstrate or to behold the Christ. You can't do it just closing your eyes and mumbling a few words and standing there quiet for a moment. You must have this consciousness, what he calls an inner awareness of the divine. That is seeking the kingdom of God. And then the things are added because, he says, it pours itself forth, not as ephemeral nothingness or substance, but in molded form, and the mold is always fulfillment. When supply of whatever name or nature comes out of the depths of that pool, of that I, that spirit, that consciousness, out of the depths of that soul, when your life is lived in that dimension of spirit, there's never just barely enough and never too much. There is bounty, abundance, affluence, because everything comes as the gift of God and is meant for your use. How can you know if you're living in this dimension? When your entire vision is on your devotion and service to God, and your expectancy is of God, not of man, but of God. And when you understand that only in His presence is fullness, only in the presence of this movement of spirit is fullness. not in the presence of a person or in the presence of a bank account, only in this presence as the fullness of life and the ability to live, move, and have your being in that inner consciousness, in that inner awareness. Well, that's how you know you're living in this dimension. And so, in this Leave Your Nets, in the chapter, Inasmuch as Ye Have Done It Unto One of These the Least, he tells us how to bear witness to the first creation, the real creation, which happens now. It's a present thing. There's no past in God. If God's Spirit moved over the face of the deep, then God's Spirit is moving over the face of the deep right now. And if you attune yourself with it within, you will behold that spiritual creation. Otherwise, if you can't do that, then you're going to have to go ahead and live your human life and have your 70 years and 10 or 12 and die and come back and live a human life again and experience the futility of it and turn within and say, oh God, isn't there an answer? And you'll be directed at that time to the spiritual way of life, and maybe you'll take it up then. Now, which creation do you want to live in? Which creation do you want to stand in? Which creation do you want to behold? You can struggle. I've done it. You can go out and get an education. I have degrees. I know how hard it is to get them. I've done it. Been there, done that. And you can apply for a position and work yourself up into management. I've done that too. And you can try to save some money and put it away for future use. And you can direct your life in that way. And gosh, there's so many things you can do now online. You can go to matchmakers.com or christianmingle.com or whatever.com and find yourself the perfect mate that matches you perfectly, and you can go down to the local gym and you can get on an exercise program, and you can go ahead and get your body into perfect shape for your age. And the very next minute you can drop over dead and leave all that stuff unfulfilled. That's the nature of the human world mind creation, the personal creation, personal life. That's the nature of it. It's always a matter of turning evil into good. And it's never ending. It goes on forever until it kills you. You have a brief vacation, and then you try it again. I don't know about you, but I'm a little tired. I don't want to continue to do that. I want to see the living Christ as, and this perfect creation manifest itself and appear as form. Not by telling it what I need, not by sitting down to try to demonstrate $1,000, but rather sitting down with my attention completely focused on how do I experience this awareness of spirit within, and how do I rest in it with no desire of any kind, but simply an openness, a receptivity, a love, really. I can tell you there are times when I feel its movement that I can only say, I just feel within my being, I love you. I love you. It just bubbles up. I love you. And yeah, I tell myself sometimes, you're so silly. You know this is your true identity. So you're telling yourself that you love you? And yet I still can't help it. Sometimes I feel the infinite say, I love you back. Sometimes I see it demonstrate that love. And so there's a love that flows back and forth. And sometimes I'm higher than that, and I know there's only I. And it's a deep pool of isingness, of ising. But it doesn't matter. The point is that you go within whatever level you're on and develop that ability to be still until you make contact, which is a funny way of saying until you come into the awareness and have the awareness of the living creation of Genesis happening right here, right now. Now, in his book, Spiritual Interpretation of Scripture, Joel Goldsmith has a couple of really beautiful things to say in his chapter near the back, which says, the true sense of the universe, which is another way of saying the true universe. Because, see, he lived in this spiritual creation. He didn't live in a personal human sense of life. And he tried to lay down the principles, as I am doing, trying to do, lay down the principles by which you and I could attain or rest back into this same sense of universe. So in this chapter he says something that you've probably heard, but see it in a new light. God is the divine reality of individual being. To avail oneself of the harmonious government of this principle, or the forms, it is necessary to drop all thought of human persons and conditions, lose all desire to improve humanhood. You see, because the real creation cannot move into that personal sense of life, into that world mind creation. It can't do it. They're never joined, ever. But rather, the world mind creation is dropped. And standing in the stillness, you see these new forms appearing. And they're not a part of the world mind. But he says that over here. He says, drop all thought of human persons and conditions, lose all desire to improve humanhood, and let the inner self reveal in silence the harmony, wholeness, and joy of real being. So you become aware of spirit. Now he says, that which soul power, or that which we contact within ourselves, results in what appears to be forms, health, harmony, and wealth. But now listen, these are not the same as that which is attained through attempts to improve humanhood. The harmony in our affairs which results from our contact within, with our inner self, our spirit, or soul, is the manifestation or expression of spirit, or spiritual consciousness, life. And this is the added things which come naturally from the realm of real substance. Then finite sense beholds these added things, or spiritual reality, as material sense, or things and person. Well, that's what we said before. But spiritual harmony is not attained by seeking persons, things, or conditions. We must take no thought for these and seek only contact with the divine reality. All right, so on the next page he says, developing a sense of receptivity, learning to silence the senses, which is the tools that that world mind, or mind about the world, uses, and gaining the ability to listen for the still small voice, or feel the movement of spirit. These are just words. The experience is the same. This is the way, he says. Human thoughts, even good ones, will not help. So all your thoughts about spiritual subjects will not help. It must be the conscious awareness of the movement of spirit, or the still small voice, or the presence of God. The terms you use are so unimportant. The awareness is what's the important thing, because your awareness of the movement of spirit, of the action of Christ, that awareness is what forms itself as this new creation. So, he says, it is a silent state of receptivity in which the Christ or Spirit of God is manifest as our individual consciousness. It appears principally as a feeling of the presence, and it dispels the illusions of sense for oneself or another. In other words, this movement within yourself, once felt, consciously realized, the conscious awareness of it within you melts anything that the world mind or mind about the world is doing. It just melts it and reveals new forms in its place. So, one more time. This is like the other chapter, which I love so much, The New Horizon in the book The Infinite Way. Because he says here, as soon as you have conquered the desire to heal or improve the material sense or the world mind sense of existence, the spiritual or real begins to reveal itself and unfold itself to you. You see, you witness the birth of creation, the spiritual creation, in your consciousness, and then it appears as new forms. Now listen. Do not take lightly what I am saying. This is the great revelation. This knowledge will clarify for you the Master's statement, "My kingdom is not of this world." It will reveal to you the secret of John the Revelator, who beheld the universe which is not made with hands. You see? But which is eternal, as consciousness appearing, spirit unfolding, soul revealing. In other words, the spiritual creation of Genesis 1. Now you understand, my kingdom is not of this world. Yes, the spiritual creation, consciousness, the light moving over the face of the deep, spirit flowing, appears as form. And that is not world mind mental images appearing as form. One is a false sense of existence taking place only in the mind. And it's a nothingness. And it doesn't last. Very, very temporary. But the spiritual creation keeps flowing and flowing and flowing and forming itself until your total existence is that of Christ consciousness, that of one who stands watching the Spirit form itself. Now he says to you, the life of material man, the life of material tree or flower or animal or mountain or lake or sunset, this is not eternal life. It is not the manifestation of the life of God. It's not the manifestation of the spiritual consciousness. It is a false, finite, mortal sense of life. So do not attempt to patch it up, but turn away from it, and with your new consciousness, discern the life of God. Feel through your cultivated spiritual sense the divine energy of spirit. Become conscious in the silence of your soul. Let divine harmonies appear as you disregard the evidence of sight and hearing, tasting, touching, and smelling. Believe me, says Job. Believe me, please believe me. This is the secret of secrets. This is life eternal, to know this truth. Truly kings and emperors would give their thrones could they but know this one truth. And again, for the third time in this chapter, he finishes by saying, "Only to those who have eyes to see and ears to hear can this vision become a living, vital presence within. Only those who have heard what is said by the still small voice and seen what is visible to the windows of the soul can discern the temple not made with hands or the universe of God's creating." Now over here he said John the Revelator, who beheld the universe which is not made with hands but which is eternal. That's what we're doing as Christ. We no longer are standing in a personal sense of world mind and living that existence. We have come out, and we are coming out, and we are standing, resting beside this stream of consciousness, and we are beholding the original creation happening here, now, in this instant, within. We are beholding a universe not made with hands, not made with world mind, made by spiritual consciousness. This inner vision, this spiritual consciousness, this soul sense, comes only in proportion as we accept and realize this great secret. One more time. The life of material man, plant, or animal is not the life of God. It is finite sense, the manifestation of mortal material sense or world mind. This false sense of life must be put off, disregarded, and unvalued in order that we may stand still and the real life and its forms may become evident and experienced. And so that's why we're calling this talk today, we're calling it spiritual alchemy. Because, well, hang on a second. Let's look this up in the dictionary. Alchemy, a speculative philosophy aiming to achieve the transmutation of base metals into gold. A power or process of transforming something common into something special, an inexplicable or mysterious transmuting. And you see, alchemy, spiritual alchemy, is taking this world mind, personal sense existence, and transforming it into that spiritual creation appearing as forms. Be ye renewed, or be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be ye transformed into that first chapter of Genesis, the spiritual creation, or Christ consciousness, by stepping out of a personal sense, a world mind, mental image existence. Even if you do this only for minutes out of each hour, it will become slowly, it will transform your entire existence. And Joel says there comes an exact moment, an exact minute, an exact time when it takes over and lives itself. Then you have attained Christhood, and Christ liveth your life. Now, Joel attained this. I can show you in his book. It's not handy. Yes, it is. Let's see. In his book, Consciousness Transformed, which is the same thing we're talking about here, transforming consciousness from world mind to Christ consciousness. In that book, he says, "It's not easy to stop seeing human beings, but I finally made it." He made it. He made it. He stepped out of the mind which sees human beings and found the inner temple not made with hands, which beholds Christ everywhere, which beholds that spiritual creation. He made it. And I can hear Rumi, the mystical poet, who was Muslim and who had a love affair with God in most of his poems, I can hear Rumi saying, "The two worlds have become one. I made it." He was transformed. And Paul, with his declaration, "Ah, now I'm no longer blind. I live, yet not I. Christ liveth my life." And so he made it. And so for those of us, 15 who have gathered together, for some reason we have been led to this group. I did not seek a single one, but either the person asked me if I was going to start a group, or the person's name came to me as someone I should send an invitation, but I didn't think up any of them myself. Those 15 of us who are serious students who want to live as Christ consciousness must go within and become beholders of the Spirit as it moves over the face of the deep, as it moves over the waters. And then we will behold, in the minutes, hours that follow, the living Spirit appearing as form. And that form always has exactly what you need, because it always comes as fulfillment. And fulfillment for me might be where I am now, which is in the mountains, and listening to the silent snowflakes falling. But fulfillment for you might be sitting next to the ocean and hearing the waves. And for fulfillment for someone else might be walking out into the night sky in the desert and seeing billions of stars. But it will always come as fulfillment, and in an infinite yet individual way. But it won't come if you're running your own life. It won't come if you're living a personal sense of self. It won't come if you're planning and you're plotting. Now, I'm not saying that going to school and getting an education is bad. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if you live by this inner dimension, it will direct your paths. In all thy ways, acknowledge it, and it will direct thy path. So if you're led to move into the academic world and attain a degree, it will be for its purpose, not yours. It will manifest. Always it. Now, I have found that I gave up seeking any kind of a relationship. I just quit seeking. And as soon as I quit seeking, I had a vision in my inner temple of Mary Magdalene. And I didn't know what that vision meant. But within days of that, or weeks, I met my wife, which is Madeline, and she was named after Magdalene. And we've been together for 23 years and walking the same road. We both serve God and have God first before each other. And that's why it works so well. And it works on every level. It works emotionally, physically, it works spiritually. In every level, we match. And that was only after I gave up looking. And according to her, in her story, she was on her knees saying, "God, I can't pick the right person, so I give up." And then we were brought together. But that was consciousness appearing as form. That's why Joel says these are permanent then. These are not things that come and go, like these mental images that World Mind creates. And so I invite you, all of you in this group, to step out of humanhood and find that inner place where you can be still enough to bear witness, to behold God's infinite spiritual creation of the first chapter of Genesis, consciousness appearing as perfect form. And this, too, is living as Christ. And this you must do. Thank you, and I love you. And God be with you as you practice Christhood.